Today we're going to finish the Mishnah Aleph, which is the main siman of Hilchos Shatnez. We're up to Sifya Dalet, the last two sifim. We neither. Sifya Dalet, very strange that it's the next to the last sif. It should be the first sif. We have to define clothing. What constitutes clothing? We know that it's not only clothing. Halah and Levisha are both aser. But what is included in that? So we already had Lechameim, or Bekshavim Nehagashavim, something to protect the body from rain, or to protect it from heat. We have something that you hold a hadeg with, is Shadnis. So to protect the body, or to Lechameim, or to warm you. To protect clothing, we had a machlekes shachantaz against the grah. Something you wear to protect your clothing is included in shatnez. That's basically what we had. And here we come to something that's a little hard to fathom, but let's see. We have exceptions to the rule, things you can wear that are not included in shatnez. Let's see what it includes, and then we have to try to put it together, which is a little difficult. Sifya Dalet, as you can see, there are barely any mafarshim on it, so the Shulchan Aruch should be easily understood. Ein osur mishum klayim ela begadim shein derechimum. It's not osur for klayim, only clothing that are derechimum. That's the language of the Rambam. A little unfair, because derechimum is lav dafka. We already had before that in the Sifya Beis, because it protects him from getting burnt by holding it. So I guess somehow in the broader category, if it protects the body from cold or from heat, it's awesome. Kugain, Ksaines, Tznefes, Nasayim, Va'avnet. Sounds like the Kayin. Big day kahuna. Vasimla, Ubagadim, Shemachapim, Behem. Hashukim. Vesiyadayim. Why is the Avnet Chimum? Okay, the Avnet the Kohenim wore was Chimum. It was very long and very very thick. Regular belt, why is it Chimum? Okay, it's a good question. Let's see if we'll get to it.
It
tightens the clothes. Okay, maybe that's why. It doesn't warm you, it helps with the chibur. Okay, let's see. Avol. Now, if we just stop here, it would exclude everything. But he mentions a few of his exclusions. Avol. Tzalim ketanim she'oisin oisam ha'am v'beis yad shalahem. Little tzalim sounds like a pouch that people have on their clothing. Here it's in this case on their sleeves. Litzrar Bahem Oisaitavlin. And in it they keep money. Oitavlin, or a little bit of sugar for their coffee. So then he's saying there's no shatnez. And here it's a little difficult to understand. I mean, I understand what he's saying is you put a wallet in your pocket, it warms your pocket. It's okay. It's not put there to warm, it's put there to be a wallet, to be a pouch. The fact that it sounds like it's connected, sounds like it's somehow sewn together, is a problem, because we already had that a beggar that has shatnez on one end, even if it's on the floor, is shatnez throughout. Now, if it's all wool, it's shatnez throughout, like everybody, even if it has a chut of pishtan on the other end. If it's all polyester and has shatnez on one end, then it was a machlekes rishayim. So, and here, maybe because it has a shem of a different item, that may be, or maybe because it's not sewn together. There's big nafkamina, I guess, between you just saying. And what I'm saying, nafkamina would be a pocket, let's say. I don't know if a pocket has a shem as a different item, or a hood. What if you have a hood, you don't know if it's shot. This, you don't wear it, you let it hang. You let it hang behind you. So does that make the whole beged shatnez? If it's attached to the beged, it would seem the whole beged is shatnez, if the hood is shatnez. I don't know. But at any rate, it's excluding things that are made to hold. Now, I want to throw out the question, what about a lady's purse that she wears? She slings over her shoulder. Is the purse made for practical use or for the look?
Well,
it's like
a knapsack.
Yeah, but most women don't wear knapsacks. They want the way it looks.
No.
The look matters.
My knapsack is...
Your knapsack is not for the look, definitely. No, absolutely. And so it seems your knapsack is mamish this case. Your knapsack of yishadnis. Because the knapsack is exactly a case of oisin ha'am shalem litzor v'hem ois. You keep your money in there. So knapsack would seem to not be a problem. Same thing with a bandage, or that you put on medication, or use pelagis, or kiyaitza by some other thing that's put on. So someone has a cast, or anything like that that has shatness in it, it's not a problem, because these are not made lechame. So you have an exclusion of something made for storage, even though you're wearing it, and something made for refuah. The third, tzitz shel oray meshi, ukiyaitze behem. Listen to what they used to wear as a protection against the mosquitoes, the flies. They had a tzitz, like the Kohen Gadol tzitz that you wear across your forehead, made of leather or meshi. The tzitz itself was ashanis. But they had hanging in front of their face, hanging from this tzitz, strings of wool and flax, over your face. That's a way.
They were from flying. They wouldn't come to
shine. No, quite. You walk around, a bunch of bumps around. I don't know what's more less comfortable, the flies or this contraption. I don't know, but apparently it was the style.
Yeah,
it was in front of them. I mean, you can see where they go. There was a bunch of strings hanging in front of their face, like a veil, sort of. What?
The beekeepers.
Well, they have full masks. Yeah, the bees would get through. They have a screen. So, Taka, a beekeeper's mask would be an example. Ain bohem mishum klai mishum de ain derechim bakach. So here we have something of a confusing issue. It says only lechame, to exclude things that are worn either as a storage container, or as something for refuah, or as something for lafriya chazavu.
Now
it's excluding these three. Well, wait, what did it expand it to? These three are not also in the Shabbos. Right. Now, the million-dollar question...
A woman's purse is not
chimum. So the million-dollar question is, what about something a person wears just for the look? He's wearing it in the way it looks. He's not wearing it l'chameim. And he's not wearing it for the... to protect his body. We already had that protect the body. But what about a necktie or bow tie? A necktie maybe around the neck is lechamim, I don't know. But a bow tie. You see, when it's a shadness on a bow tie, here the issue is, it's something you wear less kashet for the look, to look good in. And the question is that shadness? So they give out these medals in the army. They're usually metal. But the ribbons, you know, you have ribbons hanging. They're only made for the look. They're not made for the lechamim or to help the body in any way. Are they also mishul klayim? It's very unclear from the Shulchan Aruch. If you take the first words, only lechamim, then it's excluded. If you take the second words, then it's you only exclude these three things. I would think a beged that's made for the look is a beged. That's not people we have begotten for the way it looks. An afkamina, I guess, would be a tie or a mask, a face mask. People Purim like to wear face masks. It's not worn in the normal manner of wearing. It's made for the look. Is that, or maybe a lady's purse? Same thing. If they wear it for the look, certainly the purses they take to fancy occasions, at least the fancier women, they wear it for the look.
So, I'm No, I'm talking about the tie having linen and wool. Yeah, see, the padding of the ties is wool, the inside padding. So if you would have a linen tie, it would be a shayla. Is there an issur klai? So it doesn't say a psak here anywhere in the page of Shulchan Aruch, as far as I know. It's still if you whatever you wear, yeah, it's made to cover the body. I think right. That's also a thing. Yeah. That's called a skashet, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's included. Yeah. Had what? Oh, the leashes that are around the hand. So it seems that it was a derech to warm with it sometimes. Yeah, but you remember you're a shepherd out in the field, maybe. And we don't imagine it with tablecloths or curtains either. So I'll read to you from Chaim Knievsky. Chaim Knievsky addresses the issue. In Hilchos Klayim, Perek Yud, Halacha Tes Zayin. We already had earlier that somebody was... Who is selling clothing or sewing clothing should is mutter vavachlo yischanim b'kshavim ne'achshavim and b'chavim ne'acham. So there, Rav Chaim Knievsky writes the following. First, he brings the machlokes to Shach and Taz against the Gra. He says, "I am a derech amuna das Gra lahatzul b'gadam iluchluch loy mikriyad osagof." That we had earlier, that tzaneh is made to protect the body, the clothing, shachataz v'mashmir, and the gro was mekel, a bib that's made to protect the clothing, so the gro was mekel. V'nireh digam haloi vish begodim l'noi, ve'ei megin alav mechama v'kshamim, rak sheroi tzashiroi yofeh, gam kein ein chayiv min ha-tayrim. I don't want to say chayiv min ha-tayrim. He says that there's no issur. V'raya, listen to his raya. He brings a raya from Tosis Nida Sarach Aleph of the days. We had that you're allowed to bury mesim with klayim. Tosis says that it's loyiv l'rosh. So Tosis answered that it's not loyiv l'rosh because the mace is not wearing it lechamim. He's not wearing it. He's wearing it not for any type of purpose that a chai would be aser. So after Chaim Knievsky, but it's one lekvaydai. I don't know what he means. Tachlichei mace lekvaydai. It's not kvaydai for people to look at him. Anyway, that's his raya. Afa got the tachlichei mace lekvaydai. Yushma minod bechi de bechai kai gamdo lo yoyechayim. And he says, "Avsheish litchais mekabach of loshen rabbeinu, loshen of the rabbah, kosim rak leischamim, mevur davka v'kai gavna chayim." So the chaim etzasim shitum kubetzas in parakav in the bayim. So chaim is writing that leskashet his loshen is ema yisur deraisa, or he means lafukei. Then he writes avo, but he found some rishonim say the opposite. Shibu leket. Says the reverse, the Chain Taisis Rit, Perakabi de Beya, the Chain Yeshua's Malkah. So he brings some Chayokim, but he seems to hold the Iker is that this Kashet, at the very least, there's no Wissen Dai Raisa, and then it's Mutter.
Rabbi, if the Rukhaim is right, then there wouldn't be a Shasin in Shulchan Aruch without these guys dead people wearing Chayim at all. But there's no event, no Aveir, but it's not the one. The whole Sif should be missing.
Which Sif?
About this, that we had before a few cases of the dead people wearing things. Right, so it says it's worth it. You
will know if you see from just a
amazing.
It's
not to walk. No one wears it. As soon as
okay, so fine. It's telling you Tachrich amazing that there's none. Okay, could be asked in a car. I don't know. Anyway, this is Rav Chaim's chiddush. It's a chiddush lekula. It would seem that Reb Chaim is saying that it's mutter. In my derech avuna, have marked off ayin beis alevi chelik aleph simin gimel oizvav. The beis alevi doesn't agree with this. It's funny that Reb Chaim missed it, Beis Halevi says, was kashe, that's also begadim. Why do people wear clothing? They wear clothing for the look and to be warm. People put a lot of effort. You don't just put on clothing, you put it, you look in the mirror, you have someone look at you, you make sure it looks decent. Yeah. It's a chiddush here. I don't know if Chaim's blushing, anybody is today, right? So I don't know what he means. Some derabanan from where? I don't know.
But no one checks. Do people check ties for Rosh Hashanah?
Do people check? So we'll have to know what the metzias is, if there is or is not. Now, if they have a linen tie, I guess it would be. We'll see in a minute. I'll look at what it says about ties. The Nitziv, the Beis Halevi's Korosh Yeshiva, the Volozhin, in his Moray Mesada, Yuma Samach Tes, also says that clothing worn for the look are included in Shatnes. He says the Bidikuna with the Chavin or the Sepharis. There were the Chavin or the Sepharis. Now the truth is, if you look at Chumash, if you remember from Parshas Tetzave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, when Moshe repeated it to the workers, he said, "Lekatcha lechahanoili." He changed what Rabbi Shalom told him. So Rabbi Shalom said, "Lekavir l'safaris," and Moshe told over, "Lekatcha lechahanoili." Something like maybe who says it? Maybe that Moshe realized it will tell them, "Lekavir l'safaris." Their mind will be only on that they should look good. So he wanted to stress that it has to be made l'shem kedusha as well. But at any rate, the Nitziv says the same thing. The Nitziv does make a chilek, which would answer the Reb Chaim's taina from the Rambam. The Nitziv says, if it's Levisha, then even the Kavod, it's also a beggar. If it's Halah is like a blanket or a cover. Halah is not the Kavod of the Sepharis. Halah is Lachamim. If you have a blanket, Lachamim. If you're somehow throwing something over yourself for the look, so that's not included in the Issa Shatnes. That's sort of Reb Chaim's, the Nitziv's pshara between the two. So both the Nitziv and Beis Halevi say that the Issa Shatnes includes something that's done for the look. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky himself brings the Machlokes Rishayim. So I would think that a person would have to be Machmir, and I think it's a Minhag HaOlam. We assume a baguette is something worn for warmth, protect the body, or for look, which is the normal use that people have for begadim. And if ties would be a problem, then ties is a problem. So pocketbook, I don't know. There's some women who have pocketbooks since they have to schlep one around, and some of them have it for look, and some for weddings they have them for look. And what? It would be halah. It's levisha. If they sling it over their shoulder. I don't know. I think it would be Levish. I'm not sure. By Yilbash, it says wearing clay Zion is also clearly Levish.
What happens if you're carrying a Shatnes, something which has Shatnes in your hand, not on your shoulder? It's like a shopping bag you're carrying it in. Is that part of Halah?
If you're carrying it, well, that would be the problem that we had earlier. If you're mechavin to warm your hand, you mean you're not mechavin.
Just carrying because you bought it, you didn't realize they had Shatnes in it.
You know. I assume that's neither halal nor you're just stuck with it. So, okay. The question is, what about Purim costumes coming up? Is there an issur of Shatnes? So those that are clothing. Those that they put on a uniform, that's clothing. It's just you're wearing the clothing in a different way. That would be a problem. It's the Army Navy store. The are full of Shatnes issues. The Israeli Army, the green ones are not Shatnes. All of them are not Shatnes. The Army Navy surplus store, where a lot of young people go, has been found to have a lot of Shatnes. They have in the Shatnes alerts that a lot of the police and army caps from Europe are Shatnes. Why Dafka police and army caps from Europe are Shatnes, I'm not sure, but that's what they bring. It's interesting, the Darkei Maisha brings in Hilchas Purim that Shatnes de Rabbanu no gula hatir.
in order to get dressed up on Purim, the minhag is to be makel on Shatnez the Rabbanon, which is like padding. Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan say that's not the minhag anymore, and a person shouldn't do it, and we don't do it. But Lamai said there, when it's a tziruf by a suffix of the padding, you shouldn't have to test the padding, and that would seem to be a. In other words, Dr. Moshe says even by Vadai Shatnez the Rabbanon it's cool. If you have something to rub on, if you want to be medical, you this want to be. What's a svara? I don't know. They were medical. There were those that were medical for Simchas Purim on Lo Yilbash. They were medical. The Ramah brings. There were those that were medical for Simchas Purim on Lo Yilbash. So I'm not sure. And the Maisa were not medical, but there were those that were medical. They get Echad. The Mishnah Berurah says. So the Bishop brings Rishay Gishlah Kaddish that has to show to be Mekel. If you look at Shulin the Ramah brings if you're Mazik in Simchas Purim, it seems Simchas Purim is important. If you're Mazik, you're Potter, and if you're Matir Shatnez the Rabbanah, and they were Matir Le'ilbash according to some. So it seems to be important. Now, let's just finish the Sivin, and then we'll try to have some Klolim. Siv Tezai Tezvav. Oisois, so oisin ha-koipsin veha, how do you pronounce that word? Ha-grodim? Gradim? What? Weavers. Pirish by Sa'irig. Anyway, the labels that they put on, v'begodim, k'dei she'e makia kol echad ha-shalai, you put on a label, you should know what's yours. Im hoisa, ois, shal tzeber, v'pishin, v'pishin mitzeber, ha-ri ze osa, v'pishin ha-chashin etzloi. That's a steer to a previous sif. The label is not put on the chamein. Right? It's not put on the skashet. The answer is, if the shadness label will be shadness, yeah. Bring the shadness label in for testing. So the answer is that it's sewn onto a beged, and if the beged is a beged l'chamein, so whatever's sewn on it, even as something that's sewn on, just for different reasons, would seem to be. It'll be chashev. It's mechamim your does something for you is one thing.
Here
it's bottled to the beggar. That's what it means.
Is there a problem taking off
that? There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe about the cleaners tags or other tags about taking them off on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe writes this tshuva is not in Igros Moshe. It's in the Torah Vayro, the journal they put out. So Rav Moshe there says it's bottled to the beggar. You should be careful because it's mukta. To rip it off, he says it's mukta. The staple is not Ramesh Lashitasa, he says a staple is not tfira. Ramesh Lashita, that sewing is only a deraisa if you want to make the two things into one. If you take a safety pin to connect to your missing button, then that's not tfira. So staple, they staple on the label, that's not tfira. You can take it off, it's tfira. Ramesha writes, as mukta, it's a problem. I've had people come to me with clothing on Shabbos and shul, they didn't realize they have a label with these one plastic hook that, you know, that they push into the baguette. So they show it to me, they ask me if they can rip it off on Shabbos. I told them it's mukta. The last thing in the mind they're thinking of, it's mukta, but what you could do is snip the plastic. Take a scissor, just snip the plastic without doing anything and remove it. So Ramesha writes that you could wear it because it's not chashuv. Maybe if it's in front of you and it disturbs you, maybe it has a chashivus, but if it's inside, that there's no problem. Ramesha writes the same thing about extra buttons. It says, unless it's a very expensive button for some reason. Ramesha writes, if it's a gold button, then it's a problem. But otherwise, he doesn't mean gold colored, he means gold value. But otherwise, an extra button is not carried. You mean it should be misakim bana? It's not really because the removing the label is not the last step in the manufacture of the baguette. It's something outside of the baguette. So I don't think it's concerning. Yeah, taking it out of the plastic is also the last step, but it's external to the baguette, so I think that's what I think. It's tofer. It is tofer. When we had our children, the old ancient days,
But they already had Pampers, but then when you stuck the Pamper on, you couldn't rip it off. Nowadays, you can undo it.
Yeah.
So we used diaper clips. We didn't use them on Shabbos. We used diaper clips, much to the unhappiness of my in-laws. My mother was used to my chumras, but my in-laws had to get used to it. We used diaper clips. We didn't use the tape because it's a problem of typhus. When you stick things permanently, it's a problem of typhus. When they started making them with either the Velcro or with the glue that can be opened up, the halacha is tefira sheinish al kayama is mutter. Tefira for less than 24 hours is mutter, but when you take it off, usually the old diapers used to rip it. Now they open it up and it's okay. Just the tendency is when you have a diaper, especially a very dirty one, is you wrap it up and people stick the stick it back. So they should not be doing that on Shabbos. That's shel kayama, that you're going to do it. I used to joke that when you put on the diapers, it's tefira sheinu shel kayama. It doesn't stay on for 24 hours, unless the mother leaves the child with the father for 24 hours, in which case it may be a 24-hour issue. But
the grandfather.
One second. What? Why? Yeah, but you don't unglue it. You because the old ones, you stuck it on and you couldn't undo it. You have to rip the diaper. But what you're sticking is a permanent sticking. So one can argue the point, but that's a weird thing. But they used to sell, the Yiddish stores used to sell paper Shabbos clips, diaper clips, just like they sold Easy filters. Okay, we completed the siman on which begadim ashan is. I prepared, there are different versions of this. Most of them are just too many pages. This is four pages, which I was able to get on one piece of paper, two sides, the two on each. So I'll ask everyone to please pass them around. I think it should be more or less enough for everybody. And I'd like to discuss with you some Uggs. Well, Uggs is a problem. All the sewing of Uggs is done with linen. So if there's wool, it's a problem. Okay. I tell you, throw it out. I'll tell you, have a check.
I don't have it. I don't need it.
Okay. Touching everyone. Mendy doesn't have it. Doesn't need it. So it doesn't matter to him.
You don't have daughters.
Okay. There should be a few extras you can pass around this set. Are there extra ones floating around? And before this, I want to talk to you about Turkish Talesim. The first thing it says here is that this was printed in 2009 and things may have changed. There's one thing that changed about Talesim. It says here, Talesim, no testing required. Apparently, subsequent to this being published, there was a tumult over Turkish Talesim. I'd like to tell you the story of Turkish Talesim, and there's room for some ridicule, but I mean it in a serious way. Hasidim, especially Bells, Skver, I'm missing one, wear exclusively Turkish talesim. What are Turkish talesim? Turkish talesim are talesim, presumably, I'll explain what I mean by presumably, made in Turkey. I should add, as a historical fact, that Turkey, among the Muslim nations, was uniquely friendly to the Jews and to the State of Israel until recently, until a decade ago. It's an amazing change. Turkey, when Golis Sfarad took place, Turkey was a country that welcomed the Jews. And Turkey at that time was the Ottoman Empire. It was more than just Turkey itself. And the Sephardic Jews had a very close allegiance and a fond connection to Turkey. And if you remember, until this last decade, even when all the Arab countries had no relations with Israel, the Turks did. They even had military maneuvers together, and the Turks were close. Now, In Turkey, apparently, there wasn't linen to be found. It wasn't grown in Turkey. The Turks were not into linen. And therefore, Turkish talesim were very popular, precisely because there was no shatnez chashash. And if you remember, you see Hasidim have what looks like a thicker talus. It's got sort of very light lines in the texture. Those are the Turkish talis. The Sar Sholem of Belz, who lived about in the early 1800s, said, it's often quoted, that when Eretz Yisrael had a Churban, after the Churban by Hasheni, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael was spread among the nations. He said the Swiss got the mountain, the beauty of the mountains, and the Turks got the wool habishubach. And Kabbalistic connotations were given to Turkish wool, which had no previous source, but kachidarka ishaloilam, you talk about Kabbalah, so Kabbalistic things were attached to Turkish talesim, to the extent that if you go to the Skver Beis Medrash in Skver, you won't find a single talis that's not a Turkish talis. They only wear Turkish talesim. Now, allegedly, and this is again subject, the Turkish talesim originally had blue stripes in the 1800s, and maybe all of them did, I don't know. And today they have black stripes, be that as it may. In our lifetime, meaning going back 50 or 60 years ago, Turkish talesim were made in Tunisia. Now, whether they were always made in Tunisia because it's part of Turkey, it was part of Turkey or not, I have no idea. The physical fact is that Turkish talesim in the 1900s were made in Tunisia. Tunisia had a significant frum Jewish population. Significant frum Jewish population, 100,000, 200,000 Jews in the 1940s. Tunisia is northern Africa, yeah. Tunisia is northern Africa. It fell under the influence of France after World War I. And previously it was part of the Turkish Empire. My Mukhutanim come from Tunisia. Their parents, my children's great-grandparents, still live in Tunisia. Today, there are almost no Jews left in Tunisia, except in Djerba. Djerba is, I believe, an island off Tunisia, which has a firm community of maybe 1,500 Jews. And that's pretty much what remained in Tunisia. So what happened is that the production of the talesim, which obviously would be a Jewish thing, there were from Jews there, slowly from 1948 and on, when Jews started to leave, it became a non-Jewish umdus. In early 08, it was discovered, what? Not the begad, only the string. So there they make the begadim. There they make the begadim, and they quote the Sar Sholem, it's not enough to get the wool from Turkey, the wool has to be made into a begad in Turkey, which can only be Kabbalistic, and there's no halachic reason for that.
So Tunisia,
I'm just telling you the fact, that Turkish talis are made in Tunisia. But the pshat is that Tunisia and Turkey, haynu hach, or whether it just changed slowly, I don't know. But the fact is they're made in Tunisia. Early 09, it was discovered that Turkish talesim had two problems. One, some of them had linen, was shatnez. And two, some of them had other materials, which means they're not kulay beged samer. What? 2009. In February 2009, it was a kolkayre. It was discovered quietly beforehand, I don't know. But the kolkayre went out in February of 2009 that there's a problem. The problem was discovered. Was at least publicized on a Friday, which meant that in Skver they had a panic for Shabbos. What are people going to wear? Who's not going to wear talesim? That upsak that they could wear it for Shabbos because it's Yev Shalavar till Shabbos. It was a suffix. But after Shabbos, they brought an army of testers, one day to Skver, one day to Bells on 45th Street in Borough Park. I don't know exactly. Everywhere to do testing, And Kiryas Yoyal was one of the first places it was discovered. Apparently Samar also, many of them wear Turkish talasim. And not all the Turkish talasim was shatnez, but there was some that was shatnez. What exactly the statistics were, I don't know. The Lakewood Shatnez Lab published, and again, I don't know the whole politics of it, but in Lakewood at that time published that the types that have a problem, when you look at the black stripes on the talus, they look more checkerboardy, they look more like black mixed with other colors than not. Not that that's necessarily the source of the problem, but that's a simon, not a seba. It's a simon of the manufacturer who had the problem. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's I think the Greenwald, they call it Greenwald, his talasim were the ones that had the problem. Today, if you buy Turkish talasim, some of them are marked. Now, see if you get this. Some are marked with the letter ECHT, and some are marked with the letters KMO. Now, what does KMO stand for? Kamo. Kamo Turkish. They're made in Israel. They're Kamo Turkish talasim, but they're made in Eretz Yisrael, Kamo. The word ECHT means Ech Turkish talasim. They're really Turkish talasim. And Ech Turkish talasim are the ones made, I don't know, in Turkey or Tunisia, but I'm not sure. So you can buy, if you go to the store there, you get Ech, you get Kamo. I don't know if Flappish, if they sell it, it's a heavier wool. What is modern Hebrew? What is Yiddish? Yeah, that's what is German. Actually, they're both Hebrew. They're both Yiddish. Yiddish.
What about the letters MIC? Made in China.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever made it. Anyway, this is a story, and it's a very sad story that there were people. Apparently, it was very difficult to check. So you had to check throughout the Begin. And there were people who had been wearing talasim. Says we're wearing shatnez when you're davening, the tefillah is not oyla.
Why
they did? It seems that they just used old fibers. That's all. They put old fibers around. It seems. I don't know the story behind it.
When they're wearing natural, it's manufactured not in Turkey anymore.
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure, but it's not under Ashkaka. You can't get any Turkish talasim without a hefshir today because it needs a hefshir, apparently. It's not to say that it always had a problem. It just when the yidden there, apparently the yidden had some type of quality control to make sure it's all wool. And afterwards it became a mixture of other begadim or the like. Anyway, that's the story of Turkish talasim. I came upon the story. I had never heard anything about it. In our circles it wasn't before us. But I like to, sometimes I will learn in the Satmar Beis Medrash in Williamsburg, and they have CDs. There was a CD, Turkish Talasim. So it looked interesting, so I took it. So it was actually a Satmar Yogaman who flew down to Tunisia to see what's going on. And he reported on his trip. And I think more or less what I'm telling you is the story, although I doubt he quoted the Lakewood Shatnez Lab, but more or less, that's the story. Rive were not Shatnez. Majority were not, but a significant number were, and therefore that's an issue. Okay, what you have in front of you is a general guideline to Shatnez. Alterations and tailoring. Here, the very first item is an item of significant dispute, and I'm not sure that what he says is actually true, the Kuliyama. And I have to tell you, this is Shin Beis Siv Beis. The first thing we didn't get to yet, we just finished it out. Shin Beis Siv Beis talks about alterations and tailoring. So we're going to get to that musician. Now, to go through the basic, the things that are important here, they're all important, but the ones that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the Army Navy surplus stores testing required, especially with Purim coming up, it's something people should be aware of.
baseball gloves. Now here it says may contain felt pads of recycled material. Halachic opinions on this complex issue vary widely. I have firsthand where Moshe was machmir not to wear baseball gloves. The issue of baseball gloves is this: the padding is at worst the Drabbanan. Therefore, it would seem to be a suffix of a Drabbanan. The suffix of Drabbanan is supposed to check. The issue with the checking of the baseball gloves is that checking it ruins the glove. It's not like a baguette that you can rip up the seam and pull it out and do it. Now, I'm not familiar with exactly why, but the fact is, the way it's given over is that to properly test the glove, you have to rip the leather, and that it ruins the glove, or to do it properly costs as much as the glove just to restitch it. And that is the basic idea. But we said that to protect the hand, it's made to protect the hand from a bang, from a when you throw a hard hit ball, to protect the hand. So we had earlier that when you want to handle a hot egg, and you wear something to protect the hand, that's called a baguette. It says the fairish to handle cold things is the same. So presumably, not so clear, presumably the same.
We had, hot shots.
Yeah, okay. No, well, that's also, but it's made to, the padding is there to protect the hand.
If you didn't have that, you wouldn't hear. But if you didn't have it, you would feel it.
It's only there for that purpose. The only reason they put the padding, why do they put padding there? Only to protect the hand. Now there's webbing, which is to help you catch it, but the padding is certainly there. It's only there to protect the hand.
Eretz Yisrael, the red ankle on this one, because they don't play ball.
Yeah, they don't use baseball gloves. Okay.
They don't do it.
Okay, number, the next one, bekishes with lining. It says testing recommended. Bekishes without lining, no testing. So in an amusing twist, they have later kapotis. It says kapotis, see bekishes. What? So that's the hetter. The hetter with gloves is that there's a true in the Tuf Tamadas in the Shema Kloga that when you have a chash of shat, there's the Rabbanon, you have to ruin it in order to test it, that there's no chiv to test it. It applies to something the Rabbanon that you can be made. So I want to remind you, the Chai Krieski wrote that the Chazidish told him that the padding, the shoulder padding, he said that you can try on the begadim. So he was nakel, because also you can't test before you try it on. So he was nakel, even after.
So you should take it off as soon as you come off the field. Don't wear it any longer.
No. All right. It says a leather belt. Obviously, there's no problem. Now blankets, if made of wool, reprocessed wool, or mixed fibers, require testing. The handmade blankets, the fancy ones from India, the Arab shuk, should be tested. So here you have to be careful with wool blankets. Most of us don't have wool blankets. The army blankets we used to take to camp. So those are wool, and those the stitching has to be tested. Going down to boots, it says since the lining may be made of wool and filling or stitching may be made with linen, boots require testing. So this doesn't mean the rubber boots, it means the lined boots. So we have this, I mentioned last week about the Uggs that require testing. Now caps require testing when the fabric is wool, tweed, linen, or linen look. Most of the caps, I think, are polyester, and they're okay. It says genuine wool Kangol caps do not require testing, apparently some know. Alright, carpets and rugs. We have not seen anybody bring one into the Shatness tester. Yet, we already learned that woolen carpets can't be Shatness if you walk barefoot on them. And I remind you, we talked about seats or blankets. We said padding on a seat or a carpet. He said, if it's rachim, if they're soft, there's a shatness problem. If they're kashim, if they're hard, which means stiff, which means that they don't go around the body, then it's only aser if besorei negeh behem, and only if it's shot in his derais. That was the guideline we had. So that carpets and rugs, it says woolen carpets and rugs require testing, since some are back to reinforced linen. Non-woolen carpets and rugs do not require testing. Now they neglect to say that if you don't walk barefoot on your carpet, then you don't need testing. Someone is carpeting in his office, assuming even if you walk barefoot, you walk with your socks on. So, you know, sometimes you kick off your shoes, you walk around, but you have socks on. So we said, by a dover kasha, it's only also besari negebem. So if it's not besari negebem, there's no issue. So it's a little misleading when they say woolen carpets and rugs require testing, because even if they're shatness, if they're stiff, we said that only besari negebem is an issue.
Doesn't have chairs or seats here on this test.
What?
Nothing about chairs or seats.
Well, we didn't finish it yet. Okay. Now, they write about costumes that they just write that it always requires testing. Lamaisa, the cheap costumes don't. It's really only the heavy costumes that require testing. Just looking here. I don't have it here. Okay. Anyway, it's not the regular, the cheap costumes that you buy in the store, the polyester costumes, they don't need checking. It's only the heavy ones, the wool ones that require testing. Yeah, there's no aveira in that. There's no source for it. I mentioned here once that when my on a certain occasion when I was in third or fourth grade, I stayed by my uncle for a week. And I walked around barefoot in the house, and he saw me, and in horror, he screamed out the word Burvis. I didn't know what it meant. I knew what Burvis was. I don't know if I was eating something that was trayed or saying something that was trayed. I had no clue what he was talking about. And, you know, I should have looked at the Kanaim, but to him, it was like one of the Sarasadimris. There's no source to Aser walking around barefoot. It's true, it says in Halacha, not to pour drinks backwards, kederech aveilim, not to hand bread, kederech aveilim, certain things that say kederech aveilim not to do. But walking around barefoot today, it's not only aveilim that walk around barefoot. As a matter of fact, most aveilim walk around with sneakers today. It's not, nobody would think a person's in Ravel or Hanhogas aveilus. Chayim walked around barefoot, yeah. Socks is also Burvis. Without socks is okay. Okay. Well, socks is worse than not socks? In Halacha, there's no such, I don't think there's any such thing that's bought. You have to get there, have a sefer, meaning Yisrael Torah, where he tries to find the Kairos. Something he doesn't bring at all, you don't know if it has a makar. The things he brings, you read the makar, sometimes you realize there's no makar, and sometimes it is a real makar. It depends. And I'm not making fun of people who have such minhagim, but I didn't grow up with such a minhag. We didn't. My father wasn't mocked on people going around barefoot. Okay, it says here that earmuffs, no testing is required. But the reason is because it's not common that they're shatnez. If they'd be real earmuffs, obviously there would be an issur shatnez on them. Gloves on the end of the second column, rarely is shatnez found. Handmade, very expensive gloves, linen look, the smaller, those with other fabrics require testing. So for most of us, we're okay. Turning to the second side. Handbags, no testing required, unless made from linen or wool. So they're taking the position that handbags would be shatnez, just that it's not common to have shatnez. How do you say handbags in Ivrit? Zev, handbags? What? Tikiyat. So I'm just looking at it for a minute to stroll. Let's see what they say about handbags. Nothing. Okay. Yes, the Israelis don't have handbags. Okay. Felt hats, no testing required, unless they have pom-poms, piping, or appliqué, whatever that is. Fur hats require testing. The Russian-style hats require testing. What? Headbands, Iskarov. I don't know. Kapotis. That's a very nice line. Kapotis, see Bekishes. Anything else here? Oven mitts require testing. That's something people are not aware of. I mentioned to you that if you cut open the inside and you look at the lining, if the lining is white, this is according to the local Shatner's lamb, if the lining is white, then it's okay. If the lining is colored, then it's a problem. Pajamas, no testing required. That's not because of a halachic reason, but just because of the fact that there aren't any. And there is so also pajamas. Pismot. Oh, pajamot. Okay. Eimot zishanis, veitzor medika klal. Okay, so pajamas are good. Well, it depends which ties. One second. Pot holders require testing if reprocessed insulation.
What's the picture frame, Rabbi?
Picture frames, no testing required. Now, these are made of cloth. There are cloth ones. It's made a tapestry. These type of things are on the wall. It says even though curtains need not be shot, there's the ones on the wall. It's named Derech Lachame. So, in quilts, it says polyester and down quilts don't need. Okay, where you were looking at ski caps made in U.S. and Canada, no testing required. Made in Europe, testing is required. Ski caps are the over-the-face hoods, I think. Right? Sleeping bags require testing. Interesting. I don't know what they mean. Stuffed toys may contain, I don't know, who wears stuffed toys? Suspenders, no testing required. Tablecloths, I'm not sure, Bisman, as I mentioned to you in the past, Shulchan Aruch says tablecloths not allowed to be shot. This because a person is going to wrap his hand, may warm his hand in it. Today, it's not the derech, tell me if I'm wrong, it's not the derech. Anybody warm his hand in a tablecloth, I don't think, what? Your wife will catch it, right? Now, people don't wipe their hands with tablecloths. And I mentioned to you, Karbet Asano, at the end of the first parak in Beis, says it's not a loy plug. It's not a loy plug. And Mimela, the tablecloths, they write, requires testing. Pashtus, it doesn't. Looking here.
Couches,
oh, you want to bring a couch for testing? Let me go to the couches one second. So let's see what he says about tablecloths. Couches, back on the first page.
Yeah.
What does it say about couches? Oh boy. Couches, chairs, sofas. If the upholstery fabric is made of wool or linen, they require testing. Sometimes linen threads are used in the stitching. Important. Synthetic or cotton fabric generally contains no shatness. Stuffing may contain repressive material. Check labels, which are usually accurate, at least in the United States. Most sofas made in Israel prior to 1980, wow, contain shatness. So what's the bottom line here? If the fabric is wool, then couches are a problem. Looking at the Israeli version of this, let's see what they say. It says the same thing. In Eretz Yisrael, they're listing. Kishabat harifu tsemer chayav bebdika. Knitim krivais, it's common. Chutat fira pishtam. Roiv hasofis, samach peiv osof. Save our selfish youths in Israel from Neshnas 1980, Yeshrab Shatnas. He says, when it's synthetic or cotton, then it's not common, you don't have to be biting. I guess you have to know when you go to buy a couch, an armchair, you have to be aware of what's included. No, it's soft, it's a problem. When you have a plastic, or you don't need a plastic, no one sits naked on a couch, you're wearing clothing. But if it's a dava rach, we said it's usher anyway. A dava kosher like a carpet, so it's enough. Ain't besari the gabbahim. But a dava rach, we said it's usher. Even ain't besari the gabbahim.
Yeah, but if the plastic is on it, you
have to touch it. You don't have to touch it. It's not because you might. One reason was it might wrap around you. The other reason is because you sink into it, so it's considered halacha. It's considered halal, then it's an issue.
Rebbe, about the sweaters here on cashmere, all cashmere, no matter how, what percentage?
Sweaters, any sweater, list percentage of wool, cashmere, mohair, alpaca, angora, linen, other fibers require testing. 100% silk, acrylic, or cotton sweaters don't require, unless they have tchotchkes attached to them.
Cashmere requires.
That's what he's saying. He's saying is that the cashmere, the ones that are labeled cashmere, have, how do you say sweaters in the Brit? Sweaters? Really? With a samok? Let's see what they say about sweaters. I have a feeling that they just translated one from the other. Svederin. Svederin re'ei epodos. Look at an ephod, I assume that's an apron. Ephodos. So they have ephodos, svederin. Deaf men's. Ephodos hapshutas hadiskaros kiyayim ein motzi bem shan. It says men's sweaters, it's not common to have shanis vein sarach the bite come cloud, gam kisharub of tzeder. Svederin were covered in rikma,
broidery,
kiyotzmem in yeshvar, kavan, achos, nipper, shul tzeder, maker adin, et zar bedika, yeshvai, yivdikan. It says men's sweaters don't really need bedika, ladies' sweaters and aprons, kisha, asuyim, 100% acrylic, like cotton, et zar bedika, Yeshvan samurai pishtim and mossim and swam shinim if there are many colors. The frak, sheshalau, rikma, oi, apolixia.
Application,
mikra, din, it's our padiki, reshman, yimdikain. So he makes a much more lenient view of sweaters in Eretz Yisrael than here. He doesn't say almost that any of them that they need padika, mikra, din. So, well, I don't know. This is in America. Maybe America is different. This was an Israeli version. This is an American version. Okay. At any rate, this is the, I guess, Simishin Aleph. Shabbat Shin Gimel, we'll finish as a Belina. They're often in the next couple of weeks.